What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow!
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Kansas City. We are 9 games into this season, all right? We all understand that. 9 games, 153 still to play. I get that, you get that, but ladies and gentlemen, your favorite baseball team has a winning record. We haven't been able to say that in these parts, this deep into the season, in 3 years. I want to know how you're feeling. The phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. And we'll get right to your phone calls. But first, I want to get right inside that Royals clubhouse and talk to the gentleman that picked up his first save of the season tonight. It is Chris Stratton, a 1-2-3 ninth inning to secure this 3-0 win over the Chicago White Sox as the boys take the series and have themselves a winning streak. Chris, thank you very much for calling us up. Describe that clubhouse after another win over Chicago.
Electric. Man, we're just having such a great time. And, you know, our starting pitching has been, you know, otherworldly at the moment. So if we can just continue on the trend of putting up the zeros as many as we can, this offense is waiting to break out at any moment. And we just keep seeing it night after night that somebody's coming up big and it's different guys at different times. So just got to keep the momentum going.
What's standing out when you're sitting out in that bullpen talking with the other relievers? I know everyone's different, so let's just talk about tonight's performance from Michael Wacha. What stands out to you?
Efficiency. Man, he is pounding the zone, and you look up, and it's like, that's already the fourth inning, and he's, you know, he doesn't even have that many pitches going. I mean, he could have still kept going, it seems like, and that seems to be the trend with all of our starters, that they're not even really getting to their limit they're capable of, but, you know, it's just nice to turn it over to the pen and let us try to finish the job.
Chris Stratton, ahead, continue, please.
No. I feel like, you know, just the start of the season, we played so well in the first series, just had two where we just couldn't get the offense going, and then secured that one. And I feel like we played with Baltimore all three games and had a chance to win all three. Only came away with one. So I think we're playing a great brand of baseball, and just got to keep it going.
You needed just 12 pitches to retire the side there in the ninth inning, your first back-to-back of the regular season. How'd you feel out there?
I felt great. The crowd was into it. It makes it a lot easier to go out there and attack the zone. You can feel them when you're out there. But definitely nice to have the first clean inning of the year in the ninth there. So it was good.
I can't tell you how many of your fellow relievers and pitchers, period, mention your name first when I ask, you know, of the new veterans, who are the guys that you're picking the brain of? Who are you getting advice from? Chris Stratton's a name that comes out of almost everybody's mouths. What does that mean to you to hear that from a teammate?
It means a ton. You know, I feel like we're here to help each other, and I feel like if you want to win a championship, everybody has to be their A game. So I try to ask these guys questions as well, because I feel like they have a lot to offer me as well with grips and mentality and everything like that. So, you know, we're just a tight-knit group, and even though it's early in the season, we've got to know each other pretty well, and just looking forward to a lot of great times.
Chris, final thing for you, just a thought on the offense. MJ's been putting up big numbers over the past two nights, but looking like a rather dangerous 1-9.
You can't say enough about it. It just seems like at any point that, you know, it's going to tip over and it's going to be in our favor. I feel like with most games, besides the two losses where we got shut out, I think we've had the lead in just about every game. So, yeah. You know, as a bullpen, we got to continue to go out there and try to put up our zeros when we can. But we're playing great on all three assets of the game, so we just got to keep it up.
Yeah. City's about to truly understand that we got a good baseball team here at Kauffman Stadium. Chris, great job tonight. Let's go get another one tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Chris Stratton, clean ninth inning, picks up the save. Michael Wacha picks up the win. 7 shutout innings from the Royals right-hander. 7 innings of 2-hit baseball, 8 punch-outs, and 1 walk. And as Chris just said, efficient. Waka needed just 8 pitches in the first, 6 in the second, 10 in the third. Dude was dealing early. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. The Royals have a winning streak happening right now. Right, 3 straight games. They've won 3 straight games, which is a winning streak. Do you know, do you remember when you and I first enjoyed a winning streak last year? The final game of July. The final game of the 4th month of the season was the first time the Royals won 3 in a row. We're in the 2nd week of the season and the boys have already checked that box. A 5-4 record. We haven't been this deep into a campaign in 3 seasons with your favorite baseball team posting a winning record. So how are you feeling, Kansas City? Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. We're going to start off in Shawnee. Michael, you're hitting leadoff tonight. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I tell you what, a lot better after Royals win.
Well, they just did that. Thank you very much for the phone call, Michael. Good job, man. Way to bring that energy and pointing out that the Royals won. You know, it continues to be on display with this team. The closest thing that Major League Baseball has to the franchise quarterback is a great rotation. And statistically, right now, the Royals have, without question, the best rotation in Major League Baseball. And what I mean by that is, so long as Patrick Mahomes suits up on Sunday, you have a chance to win. Not saying you are guaranteed to win, but you got a chance. So long as Patrick Mahomes makes his starts, you got a real good chance of going to the postseason. Just that dude alone, I don't care what's around him, that dude alone, you got a chance to win every game, and you have a chance to go to the postseason every year. A great rotation, you have a chance to win every night, and you have a chance to go to the postseason every year. 9 games in, this is one heck of a rotation. As I thought coming into the season, the most stable rotation we've seen in Kansas City since 2016. But I didn't foresee this happening. 8 quality starts in your first 9 games. An ERA as a unit of 1.25. I mean, these type of numbers haven't been put up by any rotation in modern baseball history. No, I'm dead serious. That's not hyperbole. The Royals are the first team in the modern era with a starting staff allowing no more than 8 runs and 28 hits with at least 57 innings through 9 games. Nobody's ever done it. 913-586-7610. We go back to the phones and Mike in Kansas City. Mike, you're on the postgame show. As the Royals win 3-0 to take the series from Chicago.
Joshua F. Vernier. That's right. Good to hear your voice. Oh, man. Dude, big 2013 vibes this year. Big. And don't get, and 2013, it's like the best year ever, man. That's the same year I graduated high school. It was a great time. And I'll tell you what, you know, people in Kansas City are going to be there. You know what? They're so upset about this vote, and they're so upset about John Sherman, and they're missing this special opportunity in Royals baseball to see them get back to the same kind of level that they were about 10 years ago. And, you know, this is a special time. This is a very, very special time. And unfortunately, people aren't in the city aren't going to enjoy it. And what I'd like to say is just get out to the ball game, go see a game, go have fun. I mean, you're going to miss this special time from the beginning. anyways, man, it's always good to hear your voice, your name. Your name is almost as synonymous with baseball as Vin Scully. And we really love you here in KC, man. So keep up the high energy. All right. Yeah. Anyways, I'll let you talk from here. Big 2013 buys.
Yes, sir.
I want to hear about that.
Oh. All right, Mike. I appreciate it. 2013. Here's where I see the analogies. Well, the rotation. You went out that year before, as we talked about really throughout last year. I can't tell you how many times on the postgame show I sat here and begged John Sherman and J.J. Piccolo, please abide by these results. You tell me it's an evaluation season. You're losing 100-plus games. Please abide by these results. Because if you don't, I fear that Bobby and Mike Hell, that Vinny and MJ, these guys might become losers. They might start to accept, well, Kansas City, what do you, you know, you don't win in Kansas City. You put your time in Kansas City, and then you hit free agency and get the heck out of here. That same thing after 2012, I was concerned that that was going to happen to Moose and Haas and Kane and Eske. The front office then went out and re-signed Jeremy Guthrie, made a trade for Shields and Davis, and acquired Irvin Santana. You had three different starters give you 200 innings in that 2013 season, which allowed some of the pressure on the shoulders of those young, unproven, high upside sluggers. Guys that we wanted to believe in, but we hadn't really seen the consistency from Moose or Haas or Kane or Salvi or Eske or, well, I guess you had from Gordon by then. So I see the analogy there, right? Because this front office, this ownership group went out and aggressively spent money. Lugo, Waka, a completely revamped bullpen. And I think that rotation has helped ease some of the pressure on these young hitters, especially someone like Vinny right now that's, to me, looks, tonight was the first time it looked like he was gripping it a little bit too tight. Swinging at pitches where I haven't seen him swing at pitches that off the plate in a very long time. But they have a winning record. Pitching can cover up a few of your ills. As can a red-hot bat like MJ Melendez or Bobby Witt Jr. or Mikel Garcia or Salvador Perez. You know, talent. Having that homegrown talent producing with confidence can cover up the guy that's pressing or doesn't have his confidence or is grinding at the plate or doesn't have his timing. And at some point, that'll likely happen to MJ or Mikel or Bobby or Salvi. They'll have their rough patch, and hopefully Vinny picks them up. Another analogy, or similarity that I see, rather, I think that'd be a better way to... Another similarity that I see between this team and the 2013 team, and again, we're 9 games in. Actually, no, that's... I was going to make the point about just how all in it appears these position players are, meaning they know their role and they're cool with it. I don't know if early 2013 everybody was down like that. You know, the best example of a guy that was is Jerod Dyson. Jerod Dyson always carried himself like he should be the center fielder. And Jerod Dyson had a lot of confidence, but he never let it out to the detriment of the team. He just let it fuel his work and his readiness on the bench. So there's a lot of that going on right now inside that clubhouse where you know your role. I'm sure some guys would like more at-bats or more playing time, but they understand where they fit in. They've embraced that role. And they prepare as if they are a starter, even if their name isn't in that starting lineup. Appreciate the phone call. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Now, as far as the fans not showing up in big numbers, Announced crowd tonight, just over 15,000. You still have 75 home games, so let me first say that. Plenty of time to buy in as a fan base. And I am curious, because I kind of disagree with Mike. I don't think the stadium vote has much to do with it, does it? Would there be 20,000 here if the past few months hadn't gone down the way that they did? If the campaign wasn't what it was? I don't think so. I think this is just a wait-and-see fan base right now. A fan base that, even though they remember 2015, it's starting to feel like a fever dream. A fan base that has been burnt more times than not. That's still my sense, but maybe I'm off. Let's go to Brock in Olathe. Brock, you're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals take the series from Chicago, winning tonight 3-0. Hey, Brock, go ahead, buddy.
Whole family, my wife, my twin boys, 6.5 boys, and my baby daughter went to the game tonight. My baby daughter's first game. And what you're talking about with being burnt, like, my 6.5-year-olds don't know what it was like in 2015. Right. And they want to say hi real quick, Vern, if that's okay.
Of course.
Hi, Vern.
Hey, Bobby.
I love it. And, safe drive home. Thanks for calling in, Brock. I appreciate it. I would like to think, though, that the 6.5-year-old isn't cynical, isn't, well, I don't know if I'm buying in yet, because that's kind of how you described it, right? Can't be 6.5 and going, hey, I've never seen this team win. I don't know if I want to go, Pops. I understand your point, yeah. 6-year-olds don't remember 2015, but I'm hoping the 6.5-year-old right now is focused on cotton candy and Bobby Witt Jr. and the Michael Massey bobblehead more so than bullpen issues or Vinny going 0-for-4. 913-586-7610. But Brock and the kids bring up a great point. That Bobby chant, listen, I understand the crowd wasn't as large as you and I may have preferred. But I was getting chills in the bottom of the seventh inning. Bases loaded, one out. Bobby Witt Jr. at the dish with his team up 3-0. Everyone, all 15,463, coming to their feet, chanting Bobby. Oh, man, I felt that in every part of my body. And then the Let's Go Royals chant. I don't know if I can remember a Let's Go Royals chant competing with a Let's Go Bobby chant. A lot of you replaced Royals with Bobby. I don't think I've heard that. Not for Salvi, you know, not a Let's Go Gordo. Or that was something else. I know Bobby punched out, but whatever. That was a great moment. Let's go to Todd in the 573. Todd, you're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals are now 5-4.
Hey, bro. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Bobby is every Bobby. I love that commercial, the every Bobby commercial.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that the best?
Yeah. That's funny.
I think it's awesome. And then, so here's the thing I called in for, and I'm sure your people told you. I think we're going to get so many more people out to the ballpark if they take cash, man. They got to take cash. I just think for whatever reason, if you took cash at the Royals, whatever, Chiefs, whomever, wherever, if you took cash, you would increase your...
So they don't at the Chiefs, though, either, though, right, Todd?
I'm not sure.
I don't think they do, and that place stays packed.
Yeah, it does. It does. I'm not sure. But the Royals don't take cash. None of
it. Yeah, no. Listen, Jay Binkley's been screaming about that, Todd. Thanks for the phone call. Jay Binkley's been screaming about that since it was first implemented. But... You know, they don't have payphones here either. It's just how the world works. That's where we've evolved to. Brandon and Shawnee. Brandon, you're on the postgame show on 610 Sports Radio. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, man, super exciting times. I think that anybody that's watched every game, like you have, I have, it's clear to see that this starting lineup is absolutely special. That stat that you gave with that ERA, it lowered to 1.23, I think. That's insanity.
Bananas, yes.
So I think, personally, my prediction, I know it's super early, I don't think we fall below 500 the rest of the season. If we do, and I'm not trying to be negative, I'm just being pragmatic,
okay,
it'll be due to the bullpen. So they've got to just keep that in check. That's our wide receiver group, like the Chiefs had this last year, is the bullpen. And we just got to somehow work around it the best that we can. And I will say this, with the other callers, I didn't really mean to bring this up, but after listening to them, I don't think the vote has anything to do with it. I think it was questionable weather today, and there's a lot of proms going on throughout the KC area, too. You got to keep that in mind.
Nah, but, I mean, maybe, yeah. Maybe. I don't know. What
oh,
do
oh,
I know?
One, no, one more right. thing, one more thing, one more thing.
Okay.
I'm a huge Patrick Mahomes fan. He's my favorite athlete, even more so than Michael Jordan. He might not be the best athlete in Kansas City. That might be Bobby Witt Jr. It very well might be. Have a good night, Vern.
Yeah, you do the same. Sure, yeah, possibly, but Bobby, like we talked about yesterday.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's post-game show. Bobby needs to play in a meaningful game in his profession's second month before we say he has met or surpassed Patrick Mahomes in any facet. In any aspect. Now, I understand your point. Yeah, Bobby is a freak. But I just have too much reverence for Patrick Mahomes. He's done too much to say that he couldn't do something that you want to tell me Bobby can do. Oh, but Bobby does this better. Are we sure? Have we asked Patrick to do that? Whatever you're talking about, has someone asked Patrick to try it? Because until that happens, I just don't know. I just don't know what that dude is unable to do, incapable of doing. And don't think I'm going to let that slide, Brandon. Brandon says they ain't going below 500 again this season. Is there another man, woman, boy, girl? Is there another person out there willing to stand in lockstep with Brandon and Shawnee and say yes, Vern, they will not fall below 500? The Royals are 5-4, 153 games to play. Are you willing to jump aboard the crazy train with Brandon and Shawnee? Chase, leaving Kauffman Stadium. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Vern, calling up, again. Man? I called in last Saturday talking about the lack of sense of urgency. And I think since then, we have shown sense of urgency at the plate. Effort all around. Obviously, starting pitching is phenomenal. Historic.
Chase, are you taking credit?
Yeah. I'm not taking credit.
Okay.
But I will take credit where credit's due if it's there. But I will.
Oh, so you are then. You are taking credit for the turnaround, as you're calling it, as the Royals have won 5-7.
Trying to be humble out here for the Kansas folks. You know how it
Good
is.
Man.
But
Good
I
man.
Do love a hot take, so I will stick with Brandon. With
two.
The over 500 the rest of the year. Because you know what? I see sense of urgency with this team. And what you said earlier, these guys are playing with a purpose. And we haven't seen that in a long, long time, and it's a really good thing to see. I'll leave it at that.
All right, man. I'm writing you guys' names down. That's two aboard saying they ain't going below 500 this year. Who else? 913-586-7610. I'm very late for a break. I'll get right to your phone calls after this.
You're listening to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
3-0, the final score. Royals victorious. They get above 500, and they put together a little winning streak. Royals didn't put together a winning streak last year until the final game of July. If you were inside the ballpark, you heard MJ Melendez talking with Joel Goldberg after the 3-0 win. Melendez with the big 2-run home run in the 7th inning to break a scoreless game. Another run would come into score in that 7th inning thanks to a Michael Garcia one-out opposite field RBI knock. 3 runs in the 7th inning was all the boys needed as Michael Wacha, Nick Anderson, and Chris Stratton combined to throw a 3-hitter. 10 strikeouts between them with only 2 walks. Michael Wacha picks up the win. MJ Melendez, that 2-run home run, the game-winning 2-run home run in the 7th inning, the 3rd time already this year that MJ's come through with a go-ahead RBI. In fact, the lefty outfielder has 5 runs driven in his last 3 games. He was asked on the field by Joel Goldberg what's different about this team compared to last year.
Just the team chemistry. We got a lot of guys that are gelling well together in the locker room. We're just having fun and playing baseball, man.
Great job tonight. Go warm up. We'll see.
Bally Sports Kansas City with the audio. Team chemistry. Team chemistry. Pitching, talent, confidence. To me, those 3 things I would put a little bit higher than team chemistry, but what do I know? I'm on the outside looking in. 913-586-7610. But real quick, you know, team chemistry does speak to what we addressed in that first segment as far as understanding your role, embracing your role, cheering on the guys starting maybe in front of you, but preparing as if you are a starter. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Christian in Olathe. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. First thing on the attendance, you know, it's baseball in April. I mean, what do you expect? Still a little cold out, weekdays. Today was a weekend, but still. But I want to congratulate the guys on scoring runs recently. You know, we kind of struggled with timely hitting early in the year, getting hits when those guys are in scoring position on base. And, you know, the other night we had 10 runs on 10 hits. So they're starting to figure it out. They're starting to get more comfortable in those scoring situations. But with the pitching we've had, you know, 8 quality starts in 9 games, it kind of makes it hurt a little bit more for me that we dropped some of those games early in the year where we had good starts. Bullpen, still a little scary. I'd like to see how that pans out and your thoughts on that. But also, you know, how those 2 losses to the Twins in our division and, you know, the Orioles, who could be a potential wild card team if they don't win their division, how that could play out in the end of the year if we're a contender.
Appreciate the phone call. It's still early in the season. There is no earlier in the season. You're talking about, oh, earlier in the season, they were struggling with runners in scoring position. What, 4 days ago? If I'm being honest, they weren't strong tonight in high-leverage situations offensively. Situational hitting. 2 on, nobody out to start the game, and Vinny Pasquantino's unable to advance the runners. 2 on, 1 out in the 4th inning, and Nelson Velasquez gets careless at second base and gets picked off. So I disagree with that. Your excuses, and I'm not asking for them. Quit giving me reasons why people aren't here. I don't care. But it's you sound silly when you tell me, well, it's cold and windy. You know, this is Kansas City. That's not new. Oh, weekday. And you catch yourself and realize it's a weekend. So you know, get out of here with that. And how much will the series loss to the Orioles or the series loss to the Twins come back and bite them at the end of the year? Sure, I guess it's possible, but you get Baltimore in your house in less than 2 weeks, and you're going to face the Twins another 10 times. So you still have the opportunity to win the season series against both of those teams. And regarding the wasting of quality starts by this bullpen early on in the season, sure, but without those quality starts, despite the blown saves, despite the hiccups from the bullpen over the first week of the season, those quality starts, to me, instill confidence into relief pitchers, into defenders and bench players and sluggers and position players. And yeah, they lost those games, but I think they're a better team despite those losses. Because it's more proof to MJ and Vinny, to James MacArthur and Matt Sauer and Michael Garcia, the young Royals, it's more proof that you got quality teammates, man. You don't have to do it all. Even if you don't come through in this opportunity or in this game, there's going to be another one, and those quality teammates are going to be lined up alongside of you again tomorrow. So yeah, they let a few slip through their fingers. But the hope is they learn from it and become a better team because of it. So don't sweat it. You're 5-4. You have a winning record. You have a very good run differential. You have a winning streak going on. We haven't been able to talk like this in the month of April. April in 3 years. Don't sweat the losses. If you got the third best run differential right now in the American League, don't sweat it. Enjoy it. And get ready to watch quite the pitching matchup tomorrow. Alec Marsh and Garrett Crochet, 1:10 first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 12 noon. Hey, if you guys disagree with what I said, my response, let me know if I'm off, if I was incorrect with my thoughts to Christian there. Let's go to Michael in Lawrence. Michael, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Josh. Longtime listener. Love calling in. First of all, got to say, I've already been to a few games. Come from Lawrence, so everyone in KC making up excuses not get to the ballpark, this and that. Already been to a few games. Voted yes. We can talk about that, but let's get on from that. Talking just about the starting rotation, I got to say, Vern, how many rounds of this rotation will it take before you decide it's one of the best in baseball? Because early on, I mean, you see Singer, his new pitches really hitting it on really early. And then
I'd say the end of May.
Really, really good.
Huh? Give me to the end of May, and then I can decipher who's the best and where they rank. I need a middle of May. How about May 15th?
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I'll talk. Hopefully, I talk to you before then. But if not, I'll talk to you on May 15th. Thank you very much for the phone call. Let's head out to Waldo and talk with Dylan. You're on the postgame show as the Royals blank the White Sox 3-0.
Hey, Vern, how's it going?
Great, buddy. How are you?
Doing great, doing great. I got to disagree with those callers about us not dropping below 500. That's going to happen for sure. Might happen before we leave town this week or next week, but it's not a bad thing. It's baseball. It's hard.
Right. Good point.
Yeah. It's no reason to set expectations so high that you disappoint yourself.
Well said.
I will tell you what I think. I think last year they only won three games in a row, three or four times, if I remember correctly. I don't think that'll happen this year. I think we're going to put some big streaks together. I don't think we're going to lose eight in a row, right. Maybe ever this year.
Right.
So that's a big improvement from my point of view.
Because of the pitching, right, no doubt.
And also, I have to disagree with the Ben Scully comment. I love you, Vern.
Right.
Really appreciate you, but Denny Matthews would be our Vin Scully. You'll be a yes. half a step below Denny.
No, because then you got Ryan and Stu and Jake and Goldie and Monty, and yeah, there's too many people.
You're right up there with them, though, bud.
Well, I'm in the same building as him, and that's good enough for me. Thank you very much for the phone call, and thanks for the perspective and honesty. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. My game notes following this 3-0 win are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. Bobby Witt Jr., multiple hits tonight. He's one of three Royals with multiple hits. Bobby, Nelson, and Michael Garcia. Bobby has multiple hits in 6 of the first 9 games this season. Let's go to Connor in Overland Park. Connor, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, let's keep this line moving and let's sweep these White Sox tomorrow and send them out of town to wherever they go tomorrow after this series. Thanks for taking my call. Have a good night.
Yeah, you do the same, buddy. Listen, coming in, I wanted to split with Chicago. You guys know my message throughout spring. Maintain through May. That's all I'm asking them to do. Stay afloat in the deep end. Because if they stay afloat for the first 2 months of the season, the questions that I think you and I had coming into the year, questions about the offense, questions about the bullpen, if they're able to maintain through May and not drown in the deep end, to maintain through May tells me that enough good things have happened to that offense that, in my opinion, enough confidence would have been injected into those players that need a jolt of confidence. Same for the bullpen. And with the talent in that bullpen, the talent in that lineup, if you inject some confidence, I think they could take off. So maintain through May, to me, is basically saying, we're going to have a fun summer. Because if they can maintain through the first 2 months of the season, there's no reason why they can't carry that into August. And if we're being honest, for as excited as you and I are with this start, all we wanted was entertaining baseball in August and September. I want October. You want we all want October baseball to come back to Kansas City. But I would like to taste August and September baseball first. If that means I got to wait a little bit longer for October, you know, sadly, I'll accept that. But post All-Star break baseball, it's different. I was talking about it earlier today with some members of the grounds crew about that feeling. And some of you knew, when you would get to the ballpark early and you could feel the energy outside Kauffman Stadium as people slowly started to come in and pack this place. That can only happen in August. That can only really happen in September and then into October. Let's stay in Overland Park and talk with Mitch. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hi, Vern. Thanks for taking my call. A couple of quick points, and this isn't really what everybody's talking about, but on the other station the other day, I heard one of the announcers talking about chemistry and that his contention was that it's just not as important in baseball as it is in other sports, which I tend to disagree because I was a high school baseball coach for many years, and what I see with the Royals, especially the pitching staff, but really the whole squad, the youth and the camaraderie and pulling for each other. And I'm telling you, I don't care what anybody says, that starting pitching group, in addition to being doing phenomenal, they're, you know, getting closer and learning each other. I think that has a positive effect on the team. I think there is something to chemistry on a baseball team. And what you were just saying, I'll close with this, for years in September, when you're watching teams in contention, you know, and they got a packed house and it's going crazy. And I've been so envious of that. I miss that because, of course, we know we had it 9 or 10 years ago. But my word I've been using for a long time, I want them to be competitive. And if they're competitive, right, then, you know, August and September games will be hopefully meaningful. But the only other thing I want to add was I've heard a couple of times where players call into your show after a game. I don't know what other teams are doing in other cities, but I think that's phenomenal. And I don't know that it's happening all that much. I think that's just a great thing that those guys will call into your show after a game. That I don't think that's happening everywhere. That's a tribute to you and to them, and I really enjoy it. So great job as always, and hopefully we can keep it rolling.
Yeah, thanks. No doubt. Really appreciate that. Thanks for the phone call. If you missed it, Chris Stratton called in a little bit earlier, called in right as the show was starting to talk about his first save of the season. Thank you. If you ever miss the post-game show, ever miss those interviews, you can find them on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Just search All Things Vern. That's where the post-game show and the hot stove show and the spring training shows and all the interviews, that's where they throw them all. All Things Vern, that's what you search. To your point about chemistry, yeah, I'd be interested in what that conversation was that you were listening to on the radio, what the context was. But for someone to say that chemistry doesn't matter in baseball, or at least is less important in baseball compared to the other sports, yeah, I'm gonna need an explanation on that. They play 162 games, and the game is drenched in failure. You can't fail the way you're expected to fail in baseball in any other sport and survive at the highest level. That doesn't happen. An offensive lineman can't miss that many blocks. Listen. Chemistry is important in every sport because what team chemistry really means is you're willing to sacrifice. You're willing to leave your ego at the door. Because everyone in every professional clubhouse is the freaking man. They were the man in high school. They were the man in their hometown, maybe in their states, maybe in their country. And you're going to ask them to come in here and be one of 26. Lay down bunts, advance runners. Chemistry is a reflection of a team's willingness to sacrifice for one another, willingness to leave their egos at the door and do what's best for the squad. So yes, every sport needs chemistry. I'm not going to say one more than the other, but I'm never going to say that the sport that plays 162 games and is centered around failure, I think chemistry is the most important in that sport. We can debate, but it's certainly not dead last when you're looking at basketball, or NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, NFL, MLS. I'm sorry, but there's just no way Major League Baseball's dead last in that. 913-586-7610. Royals win 3-0. MJ Melendez with what turned out to be the game-winning two-run home run in the seventh inning. Michael Garcia tacked on another for good measure. Michael Wacha picks up the win. Nick Anderson throws a scoreless eighth inning working around a leadoff double. And then, as I mentioned, Chris Stratton, 12 pitches in the ninth inning to pick up the save. We go back to the phone calls, 913-586-7610. Robert in Excelsior Springs, you're on the postgame show.
Thank you. Yeah, as a psychotherapist, which is my job mostly, I'm really good at reading people, and I'm telling you that chemistry matters. You can win or lose a game based on mindset before you ever step on the field. And this team reminds me of a decade ago a lot. The other thing was the magic pitch tonight was an 81-mile-an-hour changeup. They could not hit that time after time I watched it.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael Walker's fun to watch. Yeah, fastball changeup heavy tonight. Yeah, that changeup was dirty. It was giving Chicago all sorts of fits, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a monster. It was so much fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you had a good time. Michael Walker's been rolling, man. 7 innings of 2-hit baseball tonight, 8 punch-outs, and 1 walk. A lot of fun to watch. Everyone's been fun to watch. As far as the Royals' rotation is concerned, again, an ERA of 1.25. Just the second time in franchise history in which the starting pitchers have made 4 starts of at least 6 scoreless innings through 9 games. Your Royals have been tied, have led, or were within 1 run heading into the 8th inning in every single game this season. And they have a winning record, so it's no longer, oh, let's lament about the ones that they let slip through their fingers. They have the ship righted. So long as they remain above 500, you can't be looking in the rearview mirror. There's just way too much road ahead. 153 games. Don't worry about what's going on behind you or what's already happened in the past. Appreciate the phone call, Robert, and thanks for the expertise. As far as chemistry, I thought you said it perfectly. And I think most Royals fans that have been here for any extended period of time have learned that lesson from the great Rex Hudler. If you're not in the right state of mind, if you don't have winning, team first, effort and energy, if you don't have that in the top of your mind, yeah, you're beat, and you'll likely drag those around you down. Appreciate the phone call, Robert. 913-586-7610. We'll hear from Michael Walker, and we'll get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Jake Eisenberg on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. MJ getting a lot of love right now on the text line, of course, from Raj in the Ozarks. Raj fell in love with MJ in the second half of last season. And then heard MJ call up the post-game show a few times. Yeah, he's an easy young man to root for. Ryan from Olathe writes in, Vern, can we talk about MJ? This dude looks like a different guy, destroying fastballs. Vern, I think a breakout year is incoming. I hope you're right, Ryan. It was my thought coming into the season that if Cole Reagans, Brady Singer, and MJ Melendez could meet or exceed their expectations, this team would be competing into September. That, to me, was a reflection of just how much things have changed in Kansas City. That guys with that type of track record, small track record, but MJ was terrific in the second half of last season. That's 70-some-odd games. Brady was terrific for 2022. And you know, that's 30 starts. Cole Reagans was unbelievable in the final 2 months of last year. That's 12 starts. So, yes, not the largest of track records. But if you think about where this franchise was, the guys that I normally said, hey, if these three meet or exceed expectations, those guys used to be Adalberto Mondesi. Who I was a big fan of, but Mondy put together a really good month before. We never saw 75 games from Adalberto Mondesi consistently, a stretch of 75 where he's a solid defender and a well above average bat. Now, those names used to be Jackson Kowar and Daniel Lynch before he even made it to the show. The talent upgrade is so very obvious to anyone watching. And that's why I'm patient with the fan base of Kansas City. Because early on, maybe that opening day loss or those losses in Baltimore, You just catch the highlights. You just look at the box score, and to you, it's same old Royals. But if you sit down and watch them, sit down and listen to Denny and Stu and Ryan and Jake, you listen to the description, you can hear that it's a different collection of talent. Most notably, on the mound, Michael Wacha tonight, 7 innings of two-hit baseball. Nick Anderson in the 8th and Chris Stratton in the 9th, shutting it down out of the bullpen. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Again, that's 913-586-7610. We'll head inside the Royals clubhouse coming up in just a moment, but some great text messages coming in. From the 816, Vern, I'm a career musician and organist. No offense or disrespect to the DJ and remix the 6, but I would go to significant lengths to restore a live organ to Kauffman Stadium and then become the home game organist. Any thoughts? Yeah, I have thoughts. Go to LinkedIn. Apply your resume. Send it to John Sherman or J.J. Piccolo, or maybe Matt Quattrero handles that. I'm not quite sure. Maybe I shouldn't have read that. Are people clamoring for an organ to return to Kauffman Stadium? I'd rather Garth Brooks' Friends in Low Places return for the 6th inning, if I'm being honest with you. Let me ask you that, Kansas City. Organist? Or Garth? Text line 913-586-7610. Jordan from Blue Springs writes in and says, Vern, I can't get down with Brandon and Shawnee saying that we're not going to fall below 500 again. We have too many years of bad baseball in April and May for me to jump on the bandwagon. But if they're close to 500 or above by the end of July, then I will jump on. Jordan, I appreciate the honesty. There you go. I think Jordan speaks for a lot of Royals fans. Now, jumping aboard in August, we're allowed to call you a front runner. Jump aboard in June, fine with me. I got no name calling. I got nothing negative to say about you. But if you wait until August, just like Royals fans did back in 2014, you're a front runner. Which you're allowed to, hey, you know, if you're cool with that distinction. But don't get it twisted. We're going to be looking at you out of the sides of our eyes. Where you been, man? Just showing up. Derek in Rayville. Vern, the Royals are doing what good teams do. Beat up on the turds and play close games against the good teams. Yeah, they're beating Chicago. And yes, they played close games against the Twins and the Orioles. And we believe the Twins are going to be good, but we don't know. Again, to make broad assessments of teams this early into the season to me is a mistake. I mean, just look in this division, and I touched on it earlier today on the On Deck show. The White Sox have lost their best player already. Luis Roberts out for multiple weeks. The Minnesota Twins have already lost their best player, Royce Lewis. And the Cleveland Guardians have lost their best pitcher, Shane Bieber. I thought the Padres, many people thought the Padres were going to be really good last year, or the Cardinals. And they weren't. They had a lot of talent, it just never materialized. So yeah, 9 games in, they have a winning record. That's really what you're saying, Derek. They're not doing what good teams do, they just have a winning record. They have a great rotation, 9 games in. They have superstars. They have a superstar in the lineup surrounded by multiple all-star caliber bats. Thanks for listening, Derek. I appreciate it. Text line 913-586-7610. We'll get back to the phone calls coming up in just a moment. 913-586-7610. From the 913, Vern, they are finally holding people accountable in this organization. That, and they deserve a ton of credit for stacking good moves on top of one another. Velasquez, Reagans, Kyle Wright, and the free agent signings. Looks totally different right now from a year ago. I agree it looks totally different. I am finally holding people accountable. Okay, I guess I can get with that. I mean, they gave them an entire season, though. They let these guys go out there and play for their livelihood for 162 and dragged us along the way for 106 losses. To your point, though, yes, I'm very grateful that ownership in the front office abided by the results of last year's evaluation season. And I'm sure they could have run a few guys back that maybe failed last year's evaluation season. I don't know. Holding people accountable. To me, they just have made really good moves. The front office has made very sound moves, like you mentioned, in Velasquez, Reagans, and the free agent signings. Ownership spent money. I guess I would have a follow-up of what do you mean holding people accountable in the organization? What does that mean? They're aggressive. I'll give you that. They've been aggressive for months now. Ownership was aggressive in the money they threw around. The front office was aggressive in the overhaul of the roster. Coaching staff's been aggressive in awarding positions solely based on merit. Alec Marsh, you're the five. Reagans, you're the opening day guy. Will Smith, I'm yanking you in the ninth inning in your fourth game of the year. Renfro, we're flipping you with Velasquez. We're using everybody on the bench. They've been aggressive. I don't know if I've seen people being held accountable because I don't really know what that means. You wanted more people fired? They had 162 games to say, all right, you stink, you get out of here. You stink, you get out of here. You're okay, but we need to bring in some competition against you. To me, that's not holding people accountable. That's, with all due respect, that's doing your job and doing it well, as we're seeing early on in 2024. Let's go to Jack in Kansas City. Jack, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
How's it going, Vern?
How are you?
Good. So the first thing, this isn't really what I was going to ask, but I would like to have friends in low places back at Kauffman Stadium.
My man.
But the main thing I was calling about was, so you know, back, I think it was 2013, Mike Moustakas was struggling a little bit. He came in with high expectations. Same thing this year with Vinny. He's been struggling, comes in with high expectations. Do you see any parallels in that situation? Mm-hmm. And would you also recommend maybe sending Vinny back down for a little bit to get things figured out? Just want to know your thoughts on that. Thanks.
Yeah, certainly not yet. If it drags on as long as it did for Mike Moustakas, sure. Or if you can see that he is just fried mentally like you could with Mike Moustakas, sure. I haven't seen that yet from Vinny. Now, tonight was as, I haven't seen him appear to be gripping it as tight, thinking as much, pressing almost as much as it looked like he was tonight. But a lefty on the hill tomorrow could be a perfect time to give him a break. You got an off day on Monday, and then you attack the Houston Astros starting on Tuesday. I'm going to try that first. Will it help? Who knows? But I remain bullish on Vinny. He's just the undeniable hitting machine. I expect it to return in 2024. Thanks for the phone call, Jack. Text line 913-586-7610. Barry in Overland Park writes in, Vern, whatever pitching coach Brian Sweeney makes, he deserves a raise. And yes, I'm ready to get busy with his fan club. What? I think you're starting the fan club, Barry. Now, there's a few of us baseball nerds. I'm sure there's a lot online that maybe have already started a Brian Sweeney fan club. But I think you're the president, Barry. And I'll be sure to tell Q to give his pitching coach a raise. Stefan writes in, Vern, I totally agree with you that this is about staying afloat in these first few months. You know, I'm realistic about who we are. But Vern, it's worth reminding the listeners that the 2014 Royals had a 55-52 record at the end of July. Signed, Stefan. Yeah, and like I bring up often, that 55-52 team, I remember the manager, Ned Yost. I was sitting right next to him when he implored the city, come out and support these guys. The city was reluctant to pack the house in 2014 until we got to August and September, like that texter was saying. He says he'll show up if they're in it in August. That's what the city said back in 2014 as well. And yeah, Stefan, that's exactly why there's no shame in staying afloat. No shame in my pleas to survive. Don't drown. Maybe it sounds Chicken Little. Maybe it sounds like I'm scared. And maybe I am, but to be quite honest with you, when you have a pitching staff that's given you a chance every single night, they make staying afloat a lot easier. And if they're able to stay afloat, if they're able to survive the deep end for these first 6 weeks, these first 2 months, the kind of confidence that I think will be injected into that bullpen, into that lineup, will carry them into August and into September. Always appreciate you listening, Stefan. Let's go to Brandon in Lawrence. You're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals beat the White Sox 3-0 to get over 500.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I just want to give J.J. Piccolo his flowers because he has taken a team that was very, you can make a very strong argument, was the worst team in baseball last year. He goes into the offseason after that, re-signs a star player to a massive deal, and puts together a team that is arguably, and I'm going to go out on a limb here a little bit, get a little risky, arguably a playoff team. A team that the lineup looks strong, our rotation looks stronger, the most important part of a team, and right. the worst aspect that we have so far, the bullpen being the easiest thing to fix.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm incredibly optimistic. I mean, we have people in the minors who I'm excited to see play this year. So I don't know if we'll be over 500 the rest of the time, but I'm telling you, I'm incredibly optimistic. I hope everyone else is too.
You mentioned the pitching. Great phone call. You mentioned the pitching. What goes right along with that, pitching and defense. Look at this defense up the middle. I think Kyle Isbell can compete for a gold glove. I know Bobby Witt Jr. is going to compete for a gold glove. Salvi's got a whole bushel of them at his house. And then Michael Massey, hopefully we see him in the show coming up in the next week or so. And if not, Adam Frazier, Nick Lofton holding it down, playing a solid second base. And you're 100% right to give credit to the front office, to ownership for the signing of Bobby Witt Jr. Not only J.J. Piccolo, but assistant general manager Scott Sharp, very key in that very confusing contract. It doesn't take Connie Mack to identify, I'd like to sign this dude long term. But it does take quite the pitch to convince that young man with that much talent to give this organization his 20s. Yes, they're giving him $288 million. Whatever. He could have got more somewhere else. But he gave this organization his 20s. And man, am I thankful for that. How much fun is this young man to watch night in and night out? Bobby tonight, 2 for 4. Again, his 6th multi-hit game of the season. We've played 9 games. Bobby hitting .389 with an OPS of 1,200. And he mentions he's excited about the minor leagues, right? Brendan says, I'm even excited about minor leaguers. I don't know exactly who you're talking about, but I think tonight the star minor leaguer comes from the AA ranks, 23-year-old right-hander Mason Barnett, who the Royals took in the 3rd round back in 2022 out of...
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Show.
Thank you. Yeah, as a psychotherapist, which is my job mostly, I'm really good at reading people, and I'm telling you that chemistry matters. You can win or lose a game based on mindset before you ever step on the field. And this team reminds me of a decade ago a lot. The other thing was the magic pitch tonight was an 81-mile-an-hour changeup. They could not hit that time after time I watched it.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael Walker's fun to watch. Yeah, fastball changeup heavy tonight. Yeah, that changeup was dirty. It was giving Chicago all sorts of fits, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a monster. It was so much fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you had a good time. Michael Walker's been rolling, man. 7 innings of 2-hit baseball tonight, 8 punch-outs, and 1 walk. A lot of fun to watch. Everyone's been fun to watch. As far as the Royals' rotation is concerned, again, an ERA of 1.25. Just the second time in franchise history in which the starting pitchers have made 4 starts of at least 6 scoreless innings through 9 games. Your Royals have been tied, have led, or were within 1 run heading into the 8th inning in every single game this season. And they have a winning record, so it's no longer, oh, let's lament about the ones that they let slip through their fingers. They have the ship righted. So long as they remain above .500, you can't be looking in the rearview mirror. There's just way too much road ahead. 153 games. Don't worry about what's going on behind you or what's already happened in the past. Appreciate the phone call, Robert, and thanks for the expertise. As far as chemistry, I thought you said it perfectly. And I think most Royals fans that have been here for any extended period of time have learned that lesson from the great Rex Hudler. If you're not in the right state of mind, if you don't have winning, team first, effort and energy, if you don't have that in the top of your mind, yeah, you're beat, and you'll likely drag those around you down. Appreciate the phone call, Robert. 913-586-7610. We'll hear from Michael Walken, and we'll get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Jake Eisenberg on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. MJ getting a lot of love right now on the text line, of course, from Raj in the Ozarks. Raj fell in love with MJ in the second half of last season. And then heard MJ call up the post-game show a few times. Yeah, he's an easy young man to root for. Ryan from Olathe writes in, Vern, can we talk about MJ? This dude looks like a different guy, destroying fastballs. Vern, I think a breakout year is incoming. I hope you're right, Ryan. It was my thought coming into the season that if Cole Reagans, Brady Singer, and MJ Melendez could meet or exceed their expectations, this team would be competing into September. That, to me, was a reflection of just how much things have changed in Kansas City. That guys with that type of track record, small track record, but MJ was terrific in the second half of last season. That's 70-some-odd games. Brady was terrific for 2022. And, you know, that's 30 starts. Cole Reagans was unbelievable in the final 2 months of last year. That's 12 starts. So, yes, not the largest of track records. But if you think about where this franchise was, the guys that I normally said, hey, if these three meet or exceed expectations, those guys used to be Adalberto Mondesi, who I was a big fan of. But Mondy put together a really good month before. We never saw 75 games from Adalberto Mondesi consistently. A stretch of 75 where he's a solid defender and a well above average bat. Now, those names used to be, you know, Jackson Kowar and, you know, Daniel Lynch before he even made it to the show. The talent upgrade is so very obvious to anyone watching. And that's why I'm patient with the fan base of Kansas City. Because early on, maybe that opening day loss or those losses in Baltimore, you just catch the highlights, you just look at the box score, and to you, it's same old Royals. But if you sit down and watch them, sit down and listen to Denny and Stu and Ryan and Jake, you listen to the description, you can hear that it's a different collection of talent. Most notably, on the mound, Michael Wacha tonight, 7 innings of two-hit baseball. Nick Anderson in the 8th and Chris Stratton in the 9th, shutting it down out of the bullpen. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Again, that's 913-586-7610. We'll head inside the Royals clubhouse coming up in just a moment, but some great text messages coming in. From the 816, Vern, I'm a career musician and organist. No offense or disrespect to the DJ and remix the 6, but I would go to significant lengths to restore a live organ to Kauffman Stadium and then become the home game organist. Any thoughts? Yeah, I have thoughts. Go to LinkedIn. Apply your resume. Send it to John Sherman or J.J. Piccolo, or maybe Matt Quattrero handles that. I'm not quite sure. Maybe I shouldn't have read that. Are people clamoring for an organ to return to Kauffman Stadium? I'd rather Garth Brooks' Friends in Low Places return for the 6th inning, if I'm being honest with you. Let me ask you that, Kansas City. Organist or Garth? Text line 913-586-7610. Jordan from Blue Springs writes in and says, Vern, I can't get down with Brandon and Shawnee saying that we're not going to fall below 500 again. We have too many years of bad baseball in April and May for me to jump on the bandwagon. But if they're close to 500 or above by the end of July, then I will jump on. Jordan, I appreciate the honesty. There you go. I think Jordan speaks for a lot of Royals fans. Now, jumping aboard in August, we're allowed to call you a front runner. Jump aboard in June, fine with me. I got no name calling. I got nothing negative to say about you. But if you wait until August, just like Royals fans did back in 2014, you're a front runner. Which you're allowed to. Hey, you know, if you're cool with that distinction. But don't get it twisted. We're going to be looking at you out of the sides of our eyes. Where you been, man? Just showing up. Derek in Rayville. Vern, the Royals are doing what good teams do. beat up on the turds and play close games against the good teams. Yeah, they're beating Chicago. And yes, they played close games against the Twins and the Orioles. And we believe the Twins are going to be good, but we don't know. Again, to make broad assessments of teams this early into the season to me is a mistake. I mean, just look in this division, and I touched on it earlier today on the On Deck show. The White Sox have lost their best player already. Luis Roberts out for multiple weeks. The Minnesota Twins have already lost their best player, Royce Lewis. And the Cleveland Guardians have lost their best pitcher, Shane Bieber. I thought the Padres, many people thought the Padres were going to be really good last year, or the Cardinals. And they weren't. They had a lot of talent. It just never materialized. So yeah, 9 games in, they have a winning record. That's really what you're saying, Derek. They're not doing what good teams do. They just have a winning record. They have a great rotation. 9 games in, they have superstars. They have a superstar in the lineup surrounded by multiple all-star caliber bats. Thanks for listening, Derek. I appreciate it. Text line 913-586-7610. We'll get back to the phone calls coming up in just a moment. 913-586-7610. From the 913, Vern, they are finally holding people accountable in this organization. That, and they deserve a ton of credit for stacking good moves on top of one another. Velasquez, Reagans, Kyle Wright, and the free agent signings. Looks totally different right now from a year ago. I agree it looks totally different. I am finally holding people accountable. Okay, I guess I can get with that. I mean, they gave them an entire season, though. They let these guys go out there and play for their livelihood for 162. And dragged us along the way for 106 losses. To your point, though, yes, I'm very grateful that ownership in the front office abided by the results of last year's evaluation season. And I'm sure they could have run a few guys back that maybe failed last year's evaluation season. I don't know. Holding people accountable. To me, they just have made really good moves. The front office has made very sound moves, like you mentioned, in Velasquez, Reagans, and the free agent signings. Ownership spent money. I guess I would have a follow-up of what do you mean holding people accountable in the organization? What does that mean? They're aggressive. I'll give you that. They've been aggressive for months now. Ownership was aggressive in the money they threw around. The front office was aggressive in the overhaul of the roster. Coaching staff's been aggressive in awarding positions solely based on merit. Alec Marsh, you're the 5. Reagans, you're the opening day guy. Will Smith, I'm yanking you in the 9th inning in your 4th game of the year. Renfro, we're flipping you with Velasquez. We're using everybody on the bench. They've been aggressive. I don't know if I've seen people being held accountable because I don't really know what that means. You wanted more people fired? They had 162 games to say, all right, you stink, you get out of here. You stink, you get out of here. You're okay, but we need to bring in some competition against you. To me, that's not holding people accountable. That's, with all due respect, that's doing your job and doing it well, as we're seeing early on in 2024. Let's go to Jack in Kansas City. Jack, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
How's it going, Vern?
Great, buddy. How are you?
Good. So the first thing, this isn't really what I was going to ask, but I would like to have friends in low places back at Kauffman Stadium.
My man.
But the main thing I was calling about was, so you know, back, I think it was 2013, Mike Moustakas was struggling a little bit. He came in with high expectations. Same thing this year with Vinny. He's been struggling, comes in with high expectations. Do you see any parallels in that situation? And would you also recommend maybe sending Vinny back down for a little bit to get things figured out? I just want to know your thoughts on that. Thanks.
Yeah, certainly not yet. If it drags on as long as it did for Mike Moustakas, sure. Or if you can see that he is just fried mentally like you could with Mike Moustakas, sure. I haven't seen that yet from Vinny. Now, tonight was as... I haven't seen him appear to be gripping it as tight, thinking as much, pressing almost, as much as it looked like he was tonight. But a lefty on the hill tomorrow could be a perfect time to give him a break. You got an off day on Monday, and then you attack the Houston Astros starting on Tuesday. I'm going to try that first. Will it help? Who knows? But I remain bullish on Vinny. He's just the undeniable hitting machine. I expect it to return in 2024. Thanks for the phone call, Jack. Text line 913-586-7610. Barry in Overland Park writes in, Vern, whatever pitching coach Brian Sweeney makes, he deserves a raise. And yes, I'm ready to get busy with his fan club. What? I think you're starting the fan club, Barry. Now, there's a few of us baseball nerds. I'm sure there's a lot online that maybe have already started a Brian Sweeney fan club. But I think you're the president, Barry. And I'll be sure to tell Q to give his pitching coach a raise. Stefan writes in, Vern, I totally agree with you that this is about staying afloat in these first few months. You know, I'm realistic about who we are, but Vern, it's worth reminding the listeners that the 2014 Royals had a 55-52 record at the end of July, signed Stefan. Yeah, and like I bring up often, that 55-52 team, I remember the manager, Ned Yost, I was sitting right next to him when he implored the city, come out and support these guys. The city was reluctant to pack the house in 2014 until we got to August and September, like that texter was saying. He says he'll show up if they're in it in August. That's what the city said back in 2014 as well. And yeah, Stefan, that's exactly why there's no shame in staying afloat. No shame in my pleas to survive. Don't drown. Maybe it sounds Chicken Little. Maybe it sounds like I'm scared. And maybe I am, but to be quite honest with you, when you have a pitching staff that's given you a chance every single night, they make staying afloat a lot easier. And if they're able to stay afloat, if they're able to survive the deep end for these first 6 weeks, these first 2 months, the kind of confidence that I think will be injected into that bullpen, into that lineup, will carry them into August and into September. Always appreciate you listening, Stefan. Let's go to Brandon in Lawrence. You're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals beat the White Sox 3-0 to get over 500.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I just want to give J.J. Piccolo his flowers because he has taken a team that was very, you can make a very strong argument, was the worst team in baseball last year. He goes into the offseason after that, re-signs a star player to a massive deal, and puts together a team that is arguably, and I'm going to go out on a limb here a little bit, get a little risky, arguably a playoff team. A team that the lineup looks strong, our rotation looks stronger, the most important part, the most important part of a team, and right. the worst aspect that we have so far, the bullpen being the easiest thing to fix.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm incredibly optimistic. I mean, we have people in the minors who I'm excited to see play this year. So I don't know if we'll be over 500 the rest of the time, but I'm telling you, I'm incredibly optimistic. I hope everyone else is too.
You mentioned the pitching. Great phone call. You mentioned the pitching. What goes right along with that, pitching and defense. Look at this defense up the middle. I think Kyle Isbell can compete for a gold glove. I know Bobby Witt Jr. is going to compete for a gold glove. Salvi's got a whole bushel of them at his house. And then Michael Massey, hopefully we see him in the show coming up in the next week or so. And if not, Adam Frazier, Nick Lofton holding it down, playing a solid second base. And you're 100% right to give credit to the front office, to ownership for the signing of Bobby Witt Jr. Not only J.J. Piccolo, but Assistant General Manager Scott Sharp, very key in that very confusing contract. I mean, it doesn't take Connie Mack to identify, I'd like to sign this dude long-term, but it does take quite the pitch to convince that young man with that much talent to give this organization his 20s. Yes, they're giving him $288 million. Whatever. He could have got more somewhere else. But he gave this organization his 20s. And man, am I thankful for that. How much fun is this young man to watch night in and night out? Bobby tonight, 2-for-4. Again, his 6th multi-hit game of the season. We've played 9 games. Bobby hitting .389 with an OPS of 1,200. And he mentions he's excited about the minor leagues, right? Brendan says, I'm even excited about minor leaguers. I don't know exactly who you're talking about, but I think tonight the star minor leaguer comes from the AA ranks, 23-year-old right-hander Mason Barnett, who the Royals took in the 3rd round back in 2022 out of Auburn. This dude's got a little bit of that red ass in him, at least on the mound. He's got that build. He's my kind of guy. You know, I always told you Alec Marsh is my kind of guy, Brady Singer, my kind of guy, just those. It feels like they're always kind of growling at you. Like you see them and they remind you of the old school pitchers that hate hitters. That's what I like. I want my pitcher to not even talk. Well, I'd like for my pitcher to have the mindset of, I don't even like to converse with hitters. I think Mason Barnett's got a little bit of that. He threw 5 1/3 innings, 1 run on 2 hits. He punched out 8. He walked only 1. 77 pitches to get him through 5 1/3 tonight, as Northwest Arkansas right now taking it on the chin, but not to the fault of Mason Barnett. Here's what Michael Wacha had to say after the game to Bally Sports Kansas City.
You know, I felt like we had a good mix going. We were getting ahead and staying in attack mode, working both sides of the plate, getting weak contact at times, and, you know, letting the defense play behind and able to get some punch outs whenever we needed them. And gets double play there was a big one there to keep it rolling. But, we were efficient. We were on the attack. And, you know, me and Salvi got in a nice little groove there and, ended up being a fun night.
Bally Sports Kansas City with the audio. Let's go to Double J in Kansas City. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Fern, how about that win tonight? What a pitching performance by Michael Walker tonight. How about MJ Melendez? Back-to-back big hits the last two nights, or actually the last couple nights, honestly. Just great to see. And I tried to get in last night, but unfortunately I wasn't. That was amazing by Key last night, going to McCosta last night to get the win. I mean, that was like Andy Reid calling Corn Dog to win the Super Bowl, baby.
Well, that wasn't the Super Bowl, but it was game 8 of the season. I appreciate the phone call, Double J. we need to show the proper respects to champions. The 2015 Royals, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. Let's tiptoe around the comparisons. They deserve a proper amount of reverence. And I'll make sure they receive it on this show. Thanks for the phone call. All right, tomorrow it's Alec Marsh and Garrett Crochet, a 1:10 first pitch. And I'm on the air beginning at 12 noon as the Royals look to push their record to 2 games above .500. Are you kidding me? The Royals? Yeah, give me Alec Marsh. Man, give me this pitching matchup. You may be unfamiliar with Alec Marsh. You may be unfamiliar with Garrett Crochet. Get familiar with your radio, your television, or Kauffman Stadium tomorrow because you're going to want to see this one. Thanks to Chris Odocero for the help back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening. Royals win 3-0. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night, Kansas City. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Blast down the right field line. Hooking, stay fair, and gone. Pasquantino.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
Deep left center, way back and gone. Another grand slam for Bobby Witt Jr.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.